Welcome to the Dishing Up Nutrition. We got lots of songs going on this morning. I don't know who's here today, but we have a new producer, so who knows what's going on. So welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing life-changing nutrition information to anyone that will listen. So I'm Darlene Kavitz, licensed nutritionist, and I'm pleased to have you joining us today. And if you are considering late weight loss surgery, or if you have a friend or a family member considering weight loss surgery, I invite you to continue to listen or even call your friend if that's a possibility for your friend. You know, the National Institute of Health reports the average cost of bariatric surgery, that's weight loss surgery, is $20,000 to $40,000. But I know one man whose gastric bypass cost over $1 million. You know, of course, he almost died of complications a couple of times, well, actually several times. So lots of interesting things about gastric bypass. So I'm very pleased to welcome Cassie Wienus as our co-host. Cassie is a registered dietitian, and she sees clients in Wayzata, and she teaches many of our nutrition classes to businesses, community groups, and you were out teaching again, weren't you, last week? Hi,
yes,
Cassie.
Yes, last night, actually. Well, yesterday afternoon, I was at the annual meeting of the Northview Dental Associates, and what a wonderful group. They were so attentive, had lots of great questions, and just a sincerely nice, nice group of people. So that was a lot of fun.
I think anyone interested in nutrition are nice people.
Exactly. Yeah, if they're going to listen to me talk, I think they're nice. I need to say hi to, as always, to my two biggest fans that are listening right now, hopefully having breakfast with Dad. So hi, Riley. Hi, Marissa. And then the topic, Dar. Great topic today. Information about gastric bypass or weight loss surgery. I don't think we've ever done this type of a show before, have we?
No, we haven't. No, not at all.
Well, hopefully we'll get some great calls on this.
So we've had many questions about the difference between a licensed dietitian and a licensed nutritionist. You know, I'm a licensed nutritionist, and Cassie is a licensed dietitian. And sometimes we refer to her as a registered dietitian. So she's got a lot of stuff behind her name. So, you know, people are kind of confused about these titles. And, you know, you may want to know, how did we become a dietitian or a nutritionist? And actually, what does it mean to be licensed in the state of Minnesota?
Right. You know, and to be a registered dietitian, you need to go to a four-year program, get a Bachelor of Science in either food and nutrition or food science, and then you go on and do an internship. And boy, Dar, it's been a lot of years, but the internship program where I went, you had two different choices. You could either do it a little more condensed and really stress yourself out and get done a little quicker, or you could do the more spread out version of an internship, and it lasted probably a year. So for me, I went to college at North Dakota State University in Fargo, North Dakota, graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Food and Nutrition, and then went on to do that year-long internship. So it's pretty much a five-year program. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you got to study before you take your exam to become registered.
Exactly.
Once you pass that, then you have that RD behind your name.
So in Minnesota, the requirements to be a nutritionist is it requires you to have a master's degree in nutrition. And then you also have to put in, I think it is 900 hours of internship in working with someone that is a nutritionist or a dietitian, and then that qualifies you to be actually licensed in the state of Minnesota.
Right. So whether you have that master's degree in nutrition or whether you're, you know, have passed the exam and you're a registered dietitian, both degrees qualify you to become licensed.
So, right.
You're exactly a licensed nutritionist.
Yes.
I am a licensed dietitian.
Right. And so we have many people on our staff that are either licensed nutritionists or licensed dietitians. So, but there are people out there that are practicing that are holding themselves out to be nutritionists, but they're not licensed because they don't meet the requirements to be licensed. And of course, I personally believe dietitians and nutritionists should be held to certain standards. And the minimal standards would be the ones that are recommended by our state of Minnesota.
Right, and every state can differ. But You know, chiropractors, acupuncturists, they certainly can do a lot of good in a lot of different situations, but they haven't had near the schooling that we've had in nutrition. And so they are not dietitians. They are not nutritionists.
And sometimes you'll see this title, Certified Clinical Nutritionist. Well, these people, again, are not really nutritionists if they're not licensed, because people can just put that name behind their, or those numbers or letters behind their name, and they may be not licensed. And again, they might be licensed, but they will say if they're licensed.
They will say, exactly. You know, and there's a lot of personal trainers, and we know some great personal trainers that are friends of ours and clients of ours, so not bashing that group of people, but just keep in mind that they're not nutritionists. Health coaches, chefs, whole food educators, unless it says it behind their name, they are not licensed nutritionists or licensed dietitians. It's kind of a confusing thing, isn't it? If you're still confused, if you still have questions about what it takes to be licensed or registered, you can call us here, 651-641-1071.
So let's, Cassie, stop with this, that, and let's go back to our conversation about weight loss surgery.
Right. You know, prior to coming on board with Nutritional Weight and Wellness, one of my several past jobs, I worked in a clinic setting and I counseled a lot of people for weight loss. I actually was hired to do counseling on gestational diabetes. Mm-hmm. And after I had been there a couple of months, I remember the director coming to me and saying, Cassie, this has turned into a weight loss clinic. And we were bombarded. I mean, she wasn't mad. I was getting a lot of clients, but I had people wanting to lose 60, 70, even 100 pounds. So I've had a lot of experience helping people reach their weight loss goals successfully without the surgery.
So what we want to do today is clear up some misconceptions about weight loss surgery. You know, you may ask, how did these misconceptions actually get started? So I don't know if you have ever looked at the marketing materials for this procedure, but there are always pictures of really thin people who have never actually gone through or undergone bariatric surgery. And, you know, how are they looking? They're looking happy and fit.
So basically they're using models for their marketing materials.
They are.
That's appalling.
Uh-huh. I know it.
You know, and then you'll always hear the verbiage that really, I think, exaggerates the benefits and minimizes the risks. The surgery, in my mind, is the easiest part of this whole thing, but it doesn't do the whole job. A person that signs up for that gastric bypass needs to stop and visualize the huge changes that they're going to be required to make in their lifestyle. And the thing is, you come home from that weight loss surgery, that didn't take care of your food cravings. If you're prone to food cravings, they're still going to be there. That food addiction, that's still going to be there. And you need to deal with those things in order to be a complete success.
And those are not easy things to deal with, frankly.
Especially if you don't know the biochemistry behind it.
Exactly. So we know it is a misconception that many people believe surgery will do the work and they won't have to watch their diet any longer. They suddenly believe that all magic, like their cravings will just disappear, just like magic. And they won't eat junk food when they're sad, or they won't binge on sugar. And sorry to say, even after surgery, cravings are still there. And the old behavior, eating chips when lonely or sad, are still there. So
yes, it's not an easy fix. And then there's side effects too. I'm remembering a student that I had when I taught at Le Cordon Bleu. Mm-hmm. She had just recently got done with her bariatric surgery, and now she was in school to be a chef. And she would tell me about these vomiting episodes that she would have. And I think she kind of knew the trigger foods, I'm trying to remember, but you can't eat the same way that you did before. Nausea is another common side effect. There's the possibility of blood clots, infections. It's a major surgery. It's a major change to your body system.
You know, before and earlier in the show, I mentioned the bypass surgery that cost $1 million. And that was really the result of a major infection. And what has happened to this gastric bypass patient? You know, he was in the hospital for months and months and months, and he was home recuperating for months and months. And he was actually a farmer and a truck driver before he had bypass surgery. And he's not been able to go back to work. I mean, he's basically lost his strength, his, you know, his endurance. So he is, you know, he lost his livelihood basically from that.
Yeah.
But he is alive. But it took a long time to get through that.
You know, I have a quote here from the director of the bariatric surgery at Temple University Hospital, which is located in Philadelphia. So this is the director of bariatric surgery saying this, and he says, quote, "The operation does not do the whole job. A person who is going to have this surgery needs to recognize that they must make changes in their lifestyle and be willing to work to make those changes happen," end quote. So I don't know, but to me, it seems that the therapeutic nutrition piece should happen before the surgery, not after the fact.
I have to agree. You know, I believe everyone would agree if you're overweight enough to qualify for weight loss surgery, then it would be reasonable that you would need ongoing nutrition therapy for a long time. So here's a thought for you. If nutrition therapy costs $100 an hour and the average bypass surgery is $30,000, you could receive 300 hours of nutrition counseling, or what that breaks down to is 1 hour a week for almost 6 years. I think that that would do the trick for most people.
Wow, you'd feel like a celebrity. You'd have your own personal nutritionist at your side for a long time. That's really interesting when you look at those figures. And if any of you have had lifestyle changes, such as practicing good nutrition or working in an exercise plan, maybe it's conquering food addictions, or maybe it's developing a positive self-image, you know it takes a very skilled person to help you make those changes. It's not easy.
I know. I've worked with a lot of personal trainers, and it takes a very skilled personal trainer to get me exercising 4 times a week. I mean, it does. And you take that special skilled person, and when you're changing your nutritional or addictive eating pattern, it really takes, So, you know, somehow I just don't believe a surgeon has those skills.
Nor do they have the time to coach you through that.
And we know that these weight loss programs, such as Weight Watchers, they can't provide nutrition therapy. And life coaches would not possess the necessary skills to address the biochemical imbalances that occur within the body.
No.
And it would seem as though, you know, we've kind of looked at weight loss surgery all wrong. Nutritional counseling needs to come first with, I believe, insurance support. And if you look at it that way, nutrition therapy is extremely cost effective and very successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of a surprising, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, you take that $30,000 that you would have spent on gastric bypass, apply that to nutrition therapy, and that weight loss surgery will not be necessary, and you'll be much the better for it.
You will. So, Cassie, we have to take a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you nutritional information that will improve your health. You know, a problem and a concern to most baby boomers and older individuals is eye health. Did you realize the leading cause of blindness among seniors is a condition called macular degeneration? Adequate nutrition can prevent this eye problem and even improve vision. You know, a study that was reported in July of 2007 in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition found the individuals who had the lowest amount of sugar in their diet had the lowest risk of developing macular degeneration. Interesting, isn't it?
It is.
There seems to be a direct connection to eating sugar and macular degeneration. So, if your Aunt Sue or Aunt Mary or Aunt whatever is losing her sight, you know, don't take her brownies today to cheer her up.
No. Maybe some hard-boiled eggs.
Yes. So if you have questions about weight loss surgery, 651-641-1071.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Venus, registered dietitian, and I'm here this morning with Darlene Kavist, licensed nutritionist. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about weight loss surgery risks and costs. Now, if you haven't taken our weight and wellness series of classes, we're starting a new round this July, and it just might be your prime time to get started to feeling better. The next weight and wellness 6-week class series starts the week of July 6th, and we have classes all over the Twin Cities. St. Paul, Wayzata, Burnsville, Woodbury, Anoka, way out in Maple Grove, White Bear Lake, and Edina. We have wonderful, wonderful teachers.
Yes, we do.
Oh, my gosh. It is a rigorous training that we go through with Darlene Kvist before we can go out there and teach, and it's wonderful. And you can expect great results because of that. So call our office today if you want to learn more, 651-699-3438, or you can check out the dates and times on our website at weightandwellness.com.
So, Cassie, we have some callers this morning. So
great.
Good morning, Deb. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have had bariatric surgery. I had it way back in 1995.
Okay.
And
so how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, except I became alcoholic.
Okay.
I switched addictions, obviously. They had no psychological test before or any support group after. I know now they do. But I ended up in treatment again in November, and there were seven of us out of 23 women that had had bariatric surgery.
Wow.
Well, that's, you know, that's interesting because the statistics say, hey, I said that word, I'm pretty good.
Came all right the first time.
Never know at this time of morning. But anyway, it says that 30% of people that go through bariatric surgery become chemically dependent or alcoholic. And it is people that have not had any, they didn't even drink. And I mean, this is what's happened to many of my clients. They didn't even drink before.
Neither did I before mine.
Yeah.
And they, I think they put down on a little form. And I didn't want it, by the way. It was my surgeon that said, you have to do this because I'd had a car accident and had gained about 70 pounds being in bed for a year. And he said, you're going to die. And so I just, you know, I
you
was
thought there were no other options.
Yes, and people don't realize. And the problem, I think this is probably part of the problem, is that people don't understand that there is actually nutrition therapy, which is different than just writing out a weight loss program. I mean, that's a big difference. And, you know, like, I mean, when we first sit down with people, it's a two-hour consultation. And then, like what we're saying is people need to probably come back once a week for a long time. And then it's like what you're, you know, this is like now you're dealing with two, in a sense, two addictions, aren't you?
Yeah.
You talked about the side effects, and one of mine was I could not eat rice.
Yes, I've heard that one.
It kind of swells.
Yeah.
And that would bring on a vomiting session. And a friend of mine who also had it just about the same time, hers was spaghetti.
Okay.
Sure.
So if you like those, you're in trouble because...
So, Deb, how has your bone density remained? Has it been good or have you lost bone density?
I have lost bone density.
Yeah.
And, in fact, I've had stress tests and I contacted Crohn's disease and...
Wow.
I had a little bit of my lung taken out, and I just had an MRI yesterday. And we'll just wait and see. It's been 3 years now.
Wow.
And there's just other little things, you know, that the energy level, not as much. Well, I'm older, too, but, you know.
But you're not getting the nutrients into your body that your body needs to stay healthy.
Well, and the problem is I have Crohn's. So I can't eat a lot of vegetables or fruits, and I try, but, you know, it just goes right through me. So, yeah, there's pluses and minuses, and I haven't gained all my weight back. I haven't gained anything back, as a matter of fact. I should be 130, and I'm 145, and I've stayed that way for all these years.
You know, one of the things, Deb, with your Crohn's disease, you might actually want to come in and see one of us because I think we probably could still help you with that and help you point to you, you know, as to be able to get as many nutrients out of your food as possible. And so there is a lot of misconceptions about what you can eat with Crohn's disease from what we find with working with people on a daily basis. So, but we thank you for the call.
Thank you, Deb.
You're welcome. Thanks for the subject.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. So we're going to take another caller. Good morning, Anne Marie. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning.
And you, you have a question or a comment for us?
Well, yeah, I had a question about, you know, they were saying the average cost of surgery, and you know, at $100 an hour, you could have like 6 years worth of nutritionists. But
yeah.
Does insurance pay for a nutritionist? Because I have had a weight loss surgery,
mm-hmm.
and when I've gone in, they've said you get only like one appointment a year that they that the insurance pays for.
Well, see, and I think that that's the problem. You know, I have to, because when we don't understand why, because, you know, nutrition, what you're putting in your mouth is the base of your health.
Right.
And it does seem as though it would be covered by insurance. But it is, again, it's more of a political issue, and that's what it is. And until people start demanding that it is covered, it's not going to be covered.
Right. Well, and the other thing, too, is, especially after a weight loss surgery, your nutrition is so much more important. I find now I think about food and what I need to eat way more than I ever did before surgery. And,
yes. Yes.
You know.
I agree.
So your weight loss surgery, can I ask, that was covered by insurance?
Yeah, I had what was called a duodenal switch. I'm a, I've got a different type of diabetes, and it's what caused me to gain my weight.
Okay.
And so it was covered by my insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, things afterwards that haven't been covered.
Yeah. That are so critical.
Right, like nutrition.
Yes.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People
well,
don't realize, I think it's an easy way to lose weight. It's not.
It is not.
There's so much more you need to know. And I believe that people should be told ahead of time, but a lot of people, I mean, I go in and talk with patients, you know, that have had surgery. They don't even know what kind of surgery they had.
Right.
How can they go in and have weight loss surgery and not know what they're having?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. That's why we're
scary.
Doing this show today, because we wanted people to start thinking about it.
Right.
And I think that's another thing, is people would, if they honestly would look at how they're spending their money,
mm-hmm.
maybe that $100 a week investment in their health, even if it has to come out of their own pocket,
right.
is the best money that they'll ever spend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It won't be painful.
And if you can do it without surgery, it is best. For me, I couldn't,
mm-hmm.
but because of my other medical problems.
That may be true, but it may not have been true, too. So
I went to the International Diabetes Center for 10 months on a 900-calorie-a-day diet and gained 80 pounds.
Well,
I did the Fenton study.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's like, okay.
Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. and, you know, but we're not, we won't.
Yeah. We won't rehash
yeah.
it,
because anyway,
what's done is
but,
done.
You know,
right.
you know, and
yeah,
I think
I
you, you know, the thing is, Anne Marie, you raise a great question.
Yeah.
Why is it not being covered by insurance?
Yeah.
And I think people just have to keep asking and asking and asking and asking, and maybe eventually it will be. That's why I think dietitians and nutritionists have to be licensed in the state of Minnesota, and that's one of the reasons that I really have encouraged everybody to become licensed, so that we can stand up and say, then we're licensed people, we should be covered by insurance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and the few that I've worked with, they don't even really understand the weight loss necessity, why they need more of this or that. I only absorb 25% of what I eat, not like a gastric bypass person.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to eat more to get my nutrients.
You do.
And
you have to eat.
It's scary.
Yep. You have to eat higher nutrient-dense
right.
foods.
Right.
Not higher calorie dense, but higher nutrient dense.
Yep.
Big difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Well, thanks for the call today.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
So, Cassie, we're needing to take a break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition. Now, I want to follow up with information about eye health and how to protect against macular degeneration. A 2008 journal that was in the a study that was in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition reported that omega-3 DHA supplement leads to an increase in the central region of the macular pigment. So this is the part of the retina that is responsible for fine vision. And when we come back, Cassie will share other benefits of omega-3 DHA. So if you have questions today, 651-641-1071.
FM 107.1. Laugh along. FM 107.1. Laugh along.
kisses. Oh, I can't take no more. Her tears like diamonds on the floor. And her diamonds bring me down. Cause I can't help her now. She's down.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. When we went to break, Dar mentioned that I would share some more health benefits of the omega-3s. Now, if any of you listeners have already taken our Weight and Wellness series of classes, you've heard some of this information already because we really talk a lot about the health benefits of omega-3s, and we specifically hone in on the DHA component. DHA is the fat that you find in breast milk that supports the development of a baby's brain. It also supports the development of the eye health. And DHA is also found in egg yolks if you're getting your eggs from grass-fed chickens. The yolk will be a bright orange color. If you get a yolk like that from a good chicken, you know that it has about 100 milligrams of DHA. We like to call that yolk liquid gold because it's packed with that good omega-3. Or you can take DHA as a supplement. It's just a little gel cap that's filled with the oil from algae found in the sea. And again, it's very healing to the brain and to the retina, or eye health, basically.
So, Cassie, as long as we've been talking about weight loss surgery, let's get kind of back to it. And, you know, let's go back to some side effects of gastric bypass surgery. There's one that's called the dumping syndrome. And, yes,
yeah.
I have to say it.
It is what it
sounds like. Yeah. You know, dumping syndrome occurs when food moves through the stomach and intestines too quickly, and it can cause nausea, weakness, sweating, faintness, and often diarrhea.
Usually diarrhea.
And it really doesn't sound like much fun, does it?
No. And it wears you out because you're losing all those nutrients.
You know, it's so interesting because when I mentioned this dumping syndrome to someone this past week that wasn't familiar with, you know, what we work
in
with.
The field of nutrition. Yeah, we talk about that a lot.
They were just appalled. I mean, it was just like, why would anyone want to go through that?
Yeah, great. You know? Yeah.
Well, people don't realize that that's what's going to happen to them.
Right.
That's
right. They don't want to be running to the bathroom several times throughout the day, but it can happen. And I have, you know, you're talking about side effects, but I guess you could call this a side effect. There was a new analysis done of bariatric surgery patients. This was published in the journal called Nature, and it revealed that almost 5% of patients who have bariatric surgery are dead within a year.
5%.
That's almost 1 out of 20 people dying within a year of surgery. And when you think about the fact that about 50,000 people in this country have bariatric surgery every year, that's a significant amount of deaths. That wouldn't have to be.
Yeah. And we do know that even, you know, we used to always think that people had to be, you know, in their 30s or 40s or at least in their 20s before they would allow them to have bariatric surgery. And now they're starting to have adolescents do bariatric surgery, which is, you know,
scary.
So I think it's even more startling. And this is what I think her name was Deb that brought up that 30% of bariatric patients find themselves in treatment for alcoholism. Like she said, 7 out of 28 people are in.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have blast gastric bypass, and I know, and I've had clients like this. They're just disbelieving that they became alcoholic in such a short time, especially because they didn't even drink before. They never drank. I mean, several of my clients that have, you know, ended up with alcohol addiction. So now they have two addictions. They have a food addiction and they have an alcohol addiction, and they're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my clients told me it started so easily. She said, well, you know, I just had a half a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon it was like a glass of wine. And then pretty soon it was 2 glasses. And then pretty soon it was a whole bottle every night after work. And that's how quickly it developed. And she said it within just weeks, she was a full-blown alcoholic.
And I don't know the exact science, but isn't it something to do with that their body, you know, now you're altered in your digestive system, and you absorb that just so much more quickly. And so you get a rush really fast on a small amount, and your addiction just kind of moves from one thing to the other.
Yes, exactly.
From the food to the alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it doesn't stop there when you talk about ill effects that happen after surgery. About 1/3 of all people that have bypass surgery get gallstones. and then they need to have gallstone surgery. So there's more expense, there's more risk, because every time you're in the hospital and somebody's opening you up, you have that risk for infection and other complications.
So many other nutritional deficiencies occur with bypass surgery. You know, like we talked with Deb, osteoporosis, mm-hmm. you know, occurs for many people. Anemia. And actually, coming up in a future show, I really want to discuss some of how these nutritional deficiencies that occur after weight loss surgery, that how that leads to osteoporosis, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of research on that. And I know, because I've had many clients that maybe had gastric bypass 10 years ago, and their bones are very fragile. They break easily. They break just getting out of bed, or they break just turning over.
And I wonder if they get told this before they have the surgery. I know they do have to take some counseling before the surgery nowadays, but I wonder if they get told that. That's scary.
Well, I think they may be, I think they may hear some of this. Honestly, I believe they may hear. I mean, it may be told to them.
May be told.
But they're not hearing it. Because
mm-hmm.
they're so fixated on
the quick fix.
The quick fix. So we're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. At Nutritional Weight and Wellness, we provide life-changing nutrition information. If you're listening today, which you must be,
obviously,
you know that children and adults in the United States are in a health crisis. But this one, I bet you didn't know, that the average adult, and this is just new stats out, the average adult white male eats 8 servings of baked goods per day. 8 servings. Now, come on, Cassie. Does your husband eat 8 servings of baked goods?
I hope not. Not when he's with me, but he is off on his own during a work day.
So, or that the average teenage boy drinks 4 servings of sugary drinks. Well, you know.
That does not happen in my house.
That's Mountain Dew, you know. And
yeah,
that spells
yeah,
trouble. So we want to share this information. So maybe it's time to sign up your son or your husband for a class before trouble strikes them.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Because I kept my heart under control. But lately, all this time is taking its toll.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian, and I'm here this morning with licensed nutritionist Starlene Kvist, and we're talking about life-changing nutrition. And before we get back to that topic of gastric bypass, I want to point out 2 great classes coming up this summer. In Wayzata on June 17th, we'll be teaching Jumpstart Your Metabolism. If you're looking for a great Father's Day gift, I know I always am just boggled as to what to get my dad. So this would be a great Father's Day gift, Jumpstart Your Metabolism, June 17th. And then on June 23rd in Forest Lake, we have Foods to Build Happy Focused Kids. So you could gather up all your neighborhood friends, all you moms, get in the car, take a drive out to Forest Lake. It's going to be a wonderful evening of great information, and you'll come home and implement those ideas and have a neighborhood full of happy, healthy kids. This is my absolute favorite class to teach, and I'm not teaching this one because it's a little bit far away for me, but I love to teach that class whenever I get the opportunity, because it's just fun to see kind of the eyes light up in these moms and see them when they start to make the connections between their kids' behavior and how they're feeding them. Mm-hmm. And then we also give them great ideas on how to slowly make changes with their kids in terms of food options and make the changes in a way so that the kids don't, you know, uproar against them. It's a wonderful class. So if you're interested in learning more about that one or Jumpstart Your Metabolism, call 651-699-3438, or you can check out our website, weightandwellness.com, for more information on how to register.
So, you know, Cassie, at my house this afternoon around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, we're having some birthday parties.
Yay!
And so I want to say happy birthday to my friend Faye, who's turning 65.
Years young.
And I want to say happy birthday to Hannah, who is my adopted granddaughter, who
yes.
turned 21 this week.
Happy birthday, Hannah.
Yes.
Is she working today?
I don't think so, I don't know. And then my daughter, who is turning 40 this week, My baby is turning 40, which I wish her a happy.
You don't look 40.
Oh, she loves that. And I remember at age 40 is when I developed the passion for nutrition. Mm-hmm. It helps me remember when I really started that. And so it's been a passion drive ever since.
Yeah.
And try to help people and educate people. And so I'm hoping that someone else takes that up here.
Yes.
But we're having really healthy food, and it's very possible to have a great birthday party with good, healthy, food.
That's delicious,
and
too.
Actually, we had to call my friend Faye and say, no brownies.
Yes.
She's famous for her brownies.
For her brownies.
We said, no brownies.
We don't want all that.
No, we don't. So should we get back to weight loss surgery things?
Yeah. And back, talking about side effects, we can talk all day about various side effects that have been reported in research articles, but we really would enjoy it if some listeners would call in that have had the bariatric surgery. We already had a couple of great calls, Deb and Anne Marie, but it's kind of like my dad always says, who is a rancher back in North Dakota, it's better coming from the horse's mouth. You know, if you can tell your story, that's what's really going to inspire people to maybe think twice and maybe choose an option that's going to be healthier than bariatric surgery. So if you have a story about some of the side effects that you've been encountering after your surgery, our number here is 651-641-1071, and we would really appreciate hearing what you have to say.
You know, I understand that often people with compulsive eating problems, and they're gaining weight every day, and they can become so frustrated with themselves. And, it's natural to look for an easy answer. They think it's easy.
Yeah, I can understand that, too. You know, I constantly, and I'm sure you feel the same way, we have people in our office constantly that say they're tired of dieting. They're tired of looking at food and seeing points. They're tired of counting calories or always starting that diet again on Monday. So, yeah, I'm sure when you've done this for years and years and it hasn't worked, surgery sounds simple, but it's not. And
it
you guys
not.
That are listening know that. Surgery doesn't take away the compulsive food thoughts. It doesn't take away the low self-esteem. It doesn't take away the closet eating or the loneliness. So you're going to have that surgery. You're going to come out weighing less, but you're still going to have to deal with these demons.
And so the only method we believe to take away all those addictive patterns is to eat in a manner that will balance your body and your brain. Balance that body and brain biochemistry. You know, that truly is what therapeutic nutrition is. You know, and it must be delivered by an expert in nutrition and addiction. And I call this service psychonutritional therapy. And it's a service we offer at Nutritional Weight and Wellness. We specialize in that service for people.
And I don't know of anyone else out there doing that right now.
I don't think so.
Unfortunately. But, when you look at it, honestly, helping people balance their biochemistry and stop those compulsive behaviors really takes a unique personalized plan. And it's not something that occurs overnight, and we never guarantee that, but we'll be with you every step of the way.
So, Kathy, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, the more I learn about nutrition and health, the more I become inspired to provide life-changing information to you. You know, I promise our classes are not the typical boring nutrition classes of the past. Our teachers live and they inspire the nutrition life. In fact, this is a great example. Angie, one of our new weight and wellness nutrition educators, has a great story that she shares about her cholesterol and triglycerides. And check this out. Angela dropped her triglycerides from 1,143 to 149. That's 1,143 to 149 by just eating the weight and wellness way. Now that's Angela. That's Angela's story, and she's a teacher.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? So we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Paradise and put up a parking lot.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. One of the earlier breaks, we were talking a little bit about eye health, and if any of you out there have macular degeneration, the first thing I would recommend is to stop eating so much sugar. So if you give up the sweet rolls, the pie, the candy bars, that's a step in the right direction. And then start taking the omega-3 fatty acid called DHA. There's another great supplement out there called Foresight that has specific antioxidants for eye health. And if you have personal questions about your eye health, I'm in the office most of the day today. You can call me at YZETA 952-345-0766.
Well, I think we've had a really nice discussion about bariatric surgery. I hope we've kind of, you know, made people stop and think and ask more questions if they're considering bariatric surgery. Mm-hmm. And we have great callers, and I know we invited some callers at the end there, and then we ran out of time, so we apologize for that. But, you know, as you know, you have to really get a personalized plan for people. And we know that food addiction is one of the most difficult addictions to overcome. But we believe with expert nutritional therapy, it can be accomplished for you.
And thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you. Have a great day.
The preceding was a paid program. The views expressed are not necessarily those of the management or ownership of FM 107. WFMP, Coon Rapids, St. Paul, Minneapolis.